This morning's reading is a well-known one, I'm sure, for most of us. It's taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of God.
The very first car I owned was an old F.E. Holden that I bought when I was 18 and just got my license. And I love that old car. A friend of my father's had an old elderly neighbour who bought this car and drove it for a while, new, and then he lost his license and he couldn't bear to part with his car because of his ill health. And so it sat in his garage for a number of years. So it was near new when I got it. And I loved this car and drove it everywhere. I got married and we went on our honeymoon in this car. We had it for 5 years and we brought our first daughter home from hospital in this car, although my wife did look in the car and say, "I can't put my new baby in that." Because it was pretty old by those days, even then. And then we moved to the coast and gradually the coastal cancer took over and it got more and more holes in it, the bottoms of the doors and everywhere. And finally it was getting into the structural part of the car and came that point where we had to part with it. So what was I going to do? I thought, well, it's worth nothing really. So I put an ad in the paper and see if I can get someone to pay me something for it. So I put this ad in the paper. F.E. Holden, full of rust, $50, as is, no roadworthy certificate. Anyway, this guy rings me almost straight away and says, "Yeah, I'll come and get it." So he rocks up and we get chatting and I said, "Oh, what are you going to do with it?" He said, "Oh, I've got a little business on the side. I just buy cars, do them up and sell them." And I said, "Well, what, are you going to get the parts out of this?" "No, no, I'll do it up and I'll sell it." And I said, it's full of rust. How can you possibly do anything with this?" He says, "Technically, you can get a roadworthy if there's no holes in the panel work. So I just put masking tape over it and I'll paint the car brown and then I'll sell it." Man, okay. Anyway, I was watching a documentary once on a major oil spill being investigated which had caused an ecological disaster. And during this documentary, they were investigating a company that had refurbished this oil tanker. And they discovered a similar thing. This company would buy ships that were way past their use-by date, full of rust, structurally no longer sound, and they would put them in their shipyard and they would cover over everything. They would bog up the structural stuff and paint over it. They used tar paper on the big panels of metal, thick metal that was supposed to be the decking. They'd put tar paper over it and then paint over that. And they'd onsold this ship to this oil company. And in a storm, it had literally cracked in two and sunk. And this is what had happened. And so, again, another example of where on the outside, both of these could have looked okay. But on the inside, they were structurally unsound. It's a bit like this story about the house on the rock and the house on the sand. Probably one of the best known little children's ministry stories there is, and there's little songs, Build Your House on the Rock. I sang that in Sunday school. I don't know whether you remember that one. And it's about the structural integrity. On the outside, they might have looked the same, but without the proper foundations and structural grounding, then there's really, it's not what it appears on the outside. I've conducted many funerals, and there's an enormous difference between a funeral with people who have faith and trust and hope in God, a solid foundation, to those who have lived a life that they think is good but have real no certainty or hope as to what is in the future. And then in that sort of crisis time, when the storm hits, that's when it comes down to know whether or not there is a solid foundation in your life. There's a lot of times in the books, in the Bible, where it talks about the fact that it's not what appears on the outside, but what appears is going on the inside that counts. In the Old Testament, the prophets a number of times railed against the fact of God saying, "I hate your sacrifices. I hate your burnt offerings. What I want is obedience, not sacrifice." Because what God was looking on their heart, and they were far from God, but they were still doing all the religious things. They were still doing their sacrifices. They were still bringing their offerings and so on. On the surface, it looked like they were good God-following people. But God knew their heart, and that was not the case. And so Jesus is telling this story to say, it is the foundation in your life that counts. And at the beginning of this passage, and reading from Matthew, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So what is the wisdom that brings that secure foundation? Hearing the words of Jesus, knowing him, and putting them into practice. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Do the things that I've said are important. And that's part of one of the great things out of the Bible, is it tells us what God expects of us, what his rules, in a sense, and his ways are for us to live the right sort of life, a godly life, one that honours him, and one that will have the very best impact on ourselves and the world for good. And so Jesus says, if you love me, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Well, what are the words? And this passage, interestingly, comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has done an enormous amount of teaching. He's talked before that about judging others, not worrying, giving to the needy, prayer, love for enemies, all those sorts of things, doing good to those who, you know, want to persecute you and all that sort of stuff, no longer an eye for an eye. All this stuff that he's teaching is the sort of way that we should be acting. Ask, seek and knock, true and false prophets. He talks about those who that we know the fruit of someone by their deeds. And then he talks about, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do we not drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That's a bit of a hard one, really, because you think, well, if people have done that stuff in the name of Jesus, you know, doesn't that sort of mean that they probably believed in him? Or maybe they did. But maybe some of those people are doing it purely out of ego and self-motivation for self-aggrandizement rather than honouring to God. And so what God is looking at is not what the things happened, because God probably honoured the fact when they prayed, not what the outcome was, but what was in the heart of the person that was doing it. God looks on your heart. God knows what's on the very inside. Now, you can come into a place like this and fool all of us. Only God knows your heart. I'm not saying that to judge anybody or to look at anybody, but I'm just saying we need to be recognising the fact that it's what's in here, not what people think about us, that really counts when God is looking at us. Are we loving God, serving God, obeying his commandments, doing all the things that Jesus has said? If we are, then we're wise and we're building a solid foundation that will not be shaken. But if we're constantly fooling ourselves, almost schizophrenically, and saying, "Well, it doesn't matter that my life doesn't line up with what Jesus said. It doesn't matter that I'm just slack and do nothing about it during the week. I come to church. I'm there, you know. I'm a good person." It does matter. Jesus said, that's foolishness. That's building your life on a sandy base. And when the storms of life come, you will be shaken and probably collapse because it's not built on the right foundation. During the week at home group, I broke everyone up into little pairs to sort of share and chat. And I was chatting with Ron. And I'm going to ask Ron to come and share a little bit of a story that he shared with me on Monday night that is a great example of someone who really has their life on a foundation of doing what Jesus wants him to do. And yet it was not an easy situation. So Ron loves coming up the front and being up here and sharing. And that's why he sits right at the back. Ron, you were telling me about a time when God challenged you to do something that was not going to be particularly easy. What was that challenge that he gave to you?
I was teaching at a Christian school in the North Coast of New South Wales, and I was really enjoying it. And one morning I woke up. I know I wasn't dreaming this. My eyes were open. My feet were on the floor. And going through my mind was, if you're living by faith, resign and see what I've got planned for you. Now, I shivered. I was 50 years old. Unemployment was high. You don't leave a secure job when you don't have another one lined up to go to. And I was, in my mind, I was going, but Lord, look, I'm living by faith. I came up here, I left everything back in Dubbo. I left friends, family. We're back on the mortgage trail. And again it came, if you're really living by faith, resign and see what I've got planned for you. And Barbara said to me, what's up? And I said, I think God's just asking me to resign. And there was silence, and then she said, you know, in my spirit, I think you're right. And I said, I need a day up in the mountains and go and sort this one out, because that was my way of really communicating with God, get away from everything. So up I went with the Bible, and I looked out over this valley over towards Byron Bay, and I went into tears because I knew I was going to have to let it all go. So I went back and I wrote a letter to the board saying I would finish up at the end of the year. I thought that will give them 6 months to find someone. I mean, they could find someone next week if they really want it. Really, they could say to me, well, if you want to go now. And when God said, wait and see what I've got planned for you, I really thought that by the end of the year I'd have another job lined up. Well, I didn't know it was going to mean 2 years of unemployment and all that went with that, all the stigma and feeling of rejection. So when school started next year, and I didn't, I just walked outside and burst into tears and said, okay, Lord, you've broken me. Do what you've got to do. We moved to Tweed Heads. I thought, this way I might be able to pick up a few days teaching either side of the border. I got 2 days that year. So, yeah, it was a downtime, going through all the stigma of people looking at you saying, oh, you're one of those beach bums. Well, they say to you, oh, what do you do for a living? How to kill a conversation? I'm unemployed. Some of the schools I went around trying to get known for casual work, some of the principals looked at me just to say, you must have done something wrong, a person with your experience out of work. That hurt. I hadn't done anything wrong. Others were saying, you're too old, you're not up to date. That was nonsense. My daughter was training to be a teacher and we were comparing notes each night. I was getting new ideas and I was telling you which ones didn't work. Others were saying, you're a threat. You're too old, or you're too experienced, you're a threat to a younger executive teacher. You couldn't work under someone who's old, younger than you, which is nonsense again. I'd already done it. So I was getting all this rejection and this went on. There was ups and downs. More downs and ups. And I remember going out there one night saying, God, and I raised my fist, you tricked me. And he just lovingly let me win to have a self-pity party. And I'd go back and a few more applications went in and this went on. Another day I was encouraged. There was a vision. I was just sitting there and I could see a fence, barbed wire, old post, old netting, and it was as clear as anything. And I just vaguely see the outlines of children of all shapes and sizes looking at me saying, come and teach us. And I'm going, but I don't know where you are. Where are you? Behind them, there was a band of green. Behind that was a lemon colour, just out of focus, but the fence was so clear. I thought, no, maybe this is God's encouragement. I'm going to get a job soon. I did go for an interview. The principal wanted me, the deputy principal wanted me. When I pulled up in the car park, I walked over to the fence. And Barbara said to me, was that the fence? I said, no. I didn't get the job. Barbara was going down to see her mum. This is almost 2 months later. I had 17 very strong applications in. One fellow from Darwin wanted me up there. He said, wait for the advertisement to come in. Alice Springs was going up, a 2-3 teacher school. I would have loved that. I was waiting for the ad. I was going to apply. And Barbara said, oh, I need to go down and see my mum. I said, well, I can't go. I need to stay here in case someone's trying to get in touch with me. And besides, I've got all these Ray Walden tapes on rejection and wilderness and forgiveness. I was in the wilderness. I need to work through these. Just listen, turn it off when something strikes me, and write down everything that comes to my mind. And I'm going to take the week to do it. That was a marvellous week. I filled up a book. And during that time, the things that came to my mind, God took me right back to even when I was a child. Rejection. And the thought came to me one day, you've had rejection in all your life. You loved the primary school. You had rejection through your teenage years, teachers' college, and after that. I needed to get to those roots of rejection. To do that, I had to take off the topsoil to get to them. They're so deep. And the topsoil was your teaching career, your primary school teaching career you used to cover up your rejection. I didn't know that. Now I've got those roots, I'm replacing the topsoil. And I thought, is that when I'm going to get a job? I got all excited. 2 days later, telephone call. People from Bega, would you come down for an interview? Bega, that's way down the other end of New South Wales. Oh, sure, I'll come. And then when I hung up, what did I do that for? I'm waiting on Alice Springs. Bega was the job I got. The other stories all concerned with that. They were starting up a new Christian school in an old, unused, unfinished abattoirs. Very appropriate. Never been used. And I had the job of starting it up until the principal came down in October and he would start up the secretary department. It was a great time there. And I just took to it. I thought, how am I going to go back to teaching after 2 years off? I just took to it like duck to water. One day a ball went out over the fence and I said to the kid, no, don't you get it, I'll get it because there's all snakes out there. I should have let one of them go. But and I went out and I picked up the ball and as I looked back, a fence, barbed wire, netting, old posts, kids of all shapes and sizes, the old gravel was now green lawn and the ugly old concrete building had been painted lemon. I said, don't move. They must have thought there was a snake nearby. I jumped the fence, grabbed the camera, went back over and took a photo of them. They said, what's that all about? I said, I'll tell you when we get inside. And from there, well, things just really went well. And even at one stage, my daughter and my son were teaching with me there, not through my influence. And it was great as a father to be able to look out and see these two as fellow teachers, not as Father, Son, and almost said Holy Spirit, Father, the Son, and Daughter. And God really blessed us there, and there's lots of other stories, but through it all, I just learnt that God really does have our best interest at heart. He might ask us to do certain things. It mightn't work out smooth to our mind, but he knows what's best for us. And look where we are now. We're up here in the Sunshine Coast. We went down south. We had 10 cents to our name. I said to Barbara, we'll never own our own home again. Well, God had other thoughts. And he has provided. Yeah, so I just encourage people. The Christian life is not always easy going. Well, we are asked to do certain things. Times would be, you tricked us. But God, in his love and his wisdom for us, he will guide and he will provide.
Thank you, Ron. Really encouraging story. When we have a good foundation in our life and storms come, we won't be shaken. Might not be easy, as Ron shared, and many others could share similar stories, I'm sure, but in those times, that's when we really prove the real benefit of a deep, intimate, personal relationship with God and an obedience to do what we feel he's calling us to do and to act in the right ways. Over in the book of James, chapter 2, it also talks about the fact that faith is of no use unless it's accompanied by our deeds. And so, and if we're not obeying, then that's not really going to be any helpful to us. And I just want to just go over there for a moment. James chapter 2, about verse 14, I think. Yeah, verse 14. What is it? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one says to them, go in peace, keep well and be well warm and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. And he goes on to talk about some aspects of that. And he comes to the story of Abraham. God called Abraham to give up something very precious to him. And in his willingness to do that, to potentially sacrifice his own son, God knew that Abraham was willing to do whatever he asked him to do. And so provided a way out. And it says then that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And he gives some other examples. Same with Ron. Ron was willing to do what God asked him to do. It was to give something up that was precious and important to him. But God had a plan and a purpose in that. And the end of the story, it's always great to get to the end and look back and you can see, oh yeah, that was great how God did that. But at the beginning, it's not always so easy to take the step of faith and to do something. We are called to be people of action and just not words. We're called not to know about things, we're called to do something about it. Our faith needs to be put into action if it's real. And in a sense, it's only when we actually step out and do something in faith that we actually have faith. Faith that isn't acted upon really has no test to it. It's not shown to be of any use whatsoever. And it's when we actually do step out in faith to do the things that God is calling us to do, to obey when it's going to cost us something, that we're actually going to discover God's real support, presence, and encouragement and power in our life. And so I just want to encourage you today to think about the foundation in your life. If it is real, and generally based on knowing God and being obedient to him, or whether it's just wavering a bit in the sense that, yeah, I sort of know, but I don't do much about it. I'm not acting in the way that I should. Then you're on shaky ground, as he says. It's foolishness to not do the stuff that Jesus has commanded. Wisdom says we obey no matter what the cost. And there's many biblical examples of that, like Abraham. And many of you could share examples like that too. So just an encouragement today. Make sure you're on the foundational stuff of knowing and obeying. Faith that is put into action rather than just faith that is things we speak. It's easy to say things like, yeah, I believe that, you know, we should be out there sharing our faith with people around about us, talking to our neighbours and building relationships so we can share our faith. But if we never do anything about it, is it real? Yeah? I believe we should love our enemies, but, you know, if we just want to get back at those people who've done bad things to us, is it real? We shouldn't judge people. And then we look at people all around us and put them in boxes and you know, don't want to have anything to do with them because they're not nice people or not like us. Is it real? These are the ways we've got to start looking and saying, let's build a solid foundation in our life. Then no matter what comes, we'll have built faith. Faith that's been tested. Faith that's been proven. First in the small things and in the bigger things and then in whatever God will send to you. Remember when David came to the Goliath, why did he think he could defeat Goliath? Does anyone remember what he said? That the natural stuff he said, not just the sort of spiritual stuff. What did he say? Anyone? I have
experience.
Yes. He killed the lion and he killed the bear and I can take this guy on. You know, he was a little scrawny bloke and he obviously killed a mountain lion and killed a bear. So he knew that God was going to be with him. God had been with him in those times when he was protecting the flock. Now God will be with him in this time when he's protecting the whole people of Israel on something that appeared too big for everyone else. He had faith that had been built on experience. Step out in faith. Do the little things and let God show you that he's with you. Do the bigger things and let God show you that he's with you. And then when the bigger things come, you'll be ready to step out and do more. Solid foundation of knowing and acting. In Luke, when he talks about this story, he talks about the wise man digging down deep to the rock. Digging down deep to the rock. We need to dig down. We need to dig down. We need to dig into the Word of God. We need to dig down and into the, like the roots of rejection. God caused Ron to dig down deep to the things that were getting in the way and then deal with them and bring him out into a new place, a small, even more solid foundation in his life. Are you digging down into God's Word? Are you not just knowing it, but then looking for every opportunity to put it into practice, being wise? Are you building that foundation that will never be shaken? That's the challenge. God's story is that he'll always be with you. He loves every one of you. He loves every person who's out there. He loves every person who's going to that expo. And he wants the same for every one of us. Are we going to be people of solid foundation who can speak to people who are searching after truth in the wrong places and say, I've found the answer. I know what it is to know God. I know what God has done so that I can be in a relationship with him. I've met Jesus. And he's made an amazing difference in my life. And he could do it in yours. If all we've got to offer them is, oh, you're just searching truth in the wrong place. You need to read the Bible. That's where the truth is. And you've got no personal testimony. Then maybe you don't have the foundation that's going to be useful. You've got faith. Put it into action. You know what Jesus has said. Do it. And then we'll be in a place where we'll be experiencing God at work in our life on a regular basis. And we'll have relevant, up-to-date testimony to share with people who are spiritually searching. And that's our story to share with them. And through our story, they can come to hear God's story. And so therefore, we'll see people's lives being transformed. We don't have to convince them of anything. Whose job is that? Holy Spirit's. The Holy Spirit is at work in every one of those people already, trying to point them to truth. The fact that they're stirred spiritually enough to go on a spiritual journey is a sign that he's at work in their life, even though they're looking in the wrong places. Don't think for one moment that people around you in the community are not interested in spiritual things. They are. They're just looking in the wrong places. They don't think we've got the answers. And so therefore they're not going to come to us, so we have to go to them. So faith is putting it into action. And if we really want to be wise and have a good foundation in our life, we have to obey what Jesus has taught, not just know it. So yes, we've got to know it, but then we've got to obey it. That's the challenge for today. How much are we obeying the truth that we know? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you love every one of us. You're taking us on a journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would just constantly stir our hearts to be able to make faith steps along the things that we know to be true, that we should be doing, saying, the things we shouldn't be doing and we shouldn't be saying, that we would obey your commands, the words and the teaching that you've given us. All the words, all the advice that is there through the Old and the New Testament to show us what it is like to live as God's people, not in our own selfishness. I pray for the foundations in our life, Lord, that we'll dig deep and be on solid ground, that when the storms of life come, we'll be able to prevail, and that in itself will be a great witness and testimony to those around about us, to the reality of our relationship with Jesus and the Father through that. Lord, if you're wanting to stir any of us this morning that we've wandered a long way from that and need to recommit ourselves to that, I pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit would bring the conviction and we make a fresh commitment to start again or to pick up where we left off and to make good the stuff that we've been letting go. And again, Lord, I want to pray for those people in our community who are searching for truth, whose lives don't have the foundation that they need. That you'd keep them on that journey, Lord, and that you bring across their paths people who do have a solid foundation in their life. And I pray that some of us would be some of those people and take the opportunities of sharing the foundation that we have, the deep knowledge that God is real, Jesus has transformed our life, and that we're going on a journey with him and we'll spend eternity with him. So, Lord, just work in us and through us, we pray, that we might become more and more your people, continuing on the journey of fulfilling your purposes, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, and ask this in the power of the name of Jesus. Amen.